Scene 21. Get that smile off your face. It is dawn, and Eowyn stands alone, watching the sunrise. She is approached by her uncle, who is the King of Rohan. Didn't you know? Theoden, proudly, like a mongoose passing a stone under a moonlit night.
I have left instructions for you to set up the entertainment center. Oh, and the people are to follow your rule in my stead as well.
Theoden turns around and walks to stand beside his serious-looking niece. Now, quite majestically,
take up my seat in the Golden Hall. Long may you defend Edoras, if the battle goes ill.
Muttering to himself,
like there is much of anything there to defend.
Eowyn, now in protest of choosing green eggs instead of ham.
What other duty would you have me do, my lord?
Theoden pauses for a moment before speaking.
Duty?
Speak kinder words. Now much more calmly.
No.
He takes a step to place himself before his niece and takes her hands in his own and crushes them. Theoden now resolutely.
Get that smile off your face. You will grieve for those whose time has come.
He looks in her eyes intently and throws angry leopards at them.
You shall die before these days are renewed.
Theoden takes the troubled face of his niece into his hands and breaks that too, then presses their foreheads together like two rams.
Theoden now reassuringly. There will be plenty to despair.
Gadzooks, that was a rough scene.
Oh, it's over. Okay.
Scene 22. The Paths of the Dead and the Death of Legolas. It is daytime, and Aragorn, unfortunately Legolas, Gimli and Arwen are making their way to the Dark Door, the entrance to the Paths of the Dead. As though walking through Disneyland, Gimli looks around in apprehension. Quivering like a dolt from outer space,
what kind of army will linger in such a place?
Legolas, passionately fruity, says the following.
One that is cursed. Long ago, the men of the mountain swore an oath to the last king of Gondor, to come to his aid, to fight. But when the time came, when Gondor's need was dire, they fled, vanishing into the darkness of the mountain. And so Isildur cursed them, never to rest, until they had fulfilled their pledge.
Aragorn, visibly annoyed and constipated.
My little friend, Eärnir, was the last king of Gondor less than 1,000 years ago.
And who gave you those lines? You're from Mirkwood. Legolas, now nervously.
Why, Mr. Jackson did.
Aragorn throws down the script. Amen, brother!
I quit.
I would love to do that, but I am locked under contract. The three companions, with Aragorn, of course, the crew was able to get him back, stand before the slope of the Dwemerberg and lead their restless horses towards the entrance. Gimli now nervously.
The very warmth of my blood seems stolen away.
Aragorn chews his gum with a pensive look of a female tiger awaiting the bus.
That's because there's a vampire biting your neck.
Legolas stops and stares at the entrance. He reads what is written above. And quite proudly.
The way is shut. It was made by those who are dead. And the dead keep it. The way is shut.
Aragorn's anger has intensified to level 10.
Would you please stop?
Those should be my lines. A sudden blast of wind, mingled with the cries of the dead, coming from inside, scares away the horses. Aragorn begins to stammer like a hammer.
Brego! Brego!
He chews a spaghetti and releases a moan of glee.
Prego!
Aragorn turns to look at the entrance. While gritting his teeth, he was able to muster enough strength to say,
I do not fear death, but Legolas, you will fear death, you green booger. Before the movie is over, you can count on it.
With this, he walks in and disappears into the darkness. Legolas and Gimli are left behind and watch
in terror. With a deep breath, Legolas enters the dark passage.
Disregarding what Aragorn said, Gimli, now, is left alone by the entrance.
Well, this is a thing unheard of. An elf will go on the ground, where a dwarf there is not.
Well, I never hear the end of it.
Gimli, too, enters the paths of the dead. Back in Dunharrow, the men prepare to leave for the battle. Theoden and Éomer come out of a tent with a beautiful woman on each arm. What is that crackling? There's no reason to crackle. Stop.
Stop.
Pardon? Theoden says,
We must ride heavily and slow. It's a long road ahead on I-95. The men and beasts must reach the end with the strength to fight.
Clad in the gear of Gondor, Merry watches the mounted riders. He is the only one still on the ground. Standing below Theoden's horse, picking up its leftovers, he looks up at the king.
Little hobbits do not belong in war, Master Meriadoc.
All my friends have gone to battle. I will be ashamed to be left behind.
It is a 7-year gallop to Toledo, and none of my riders can bear you as a burden.
I want to fight!
Theoden, dual question marks.
I will say no more.
Theoden rides away, leaving Merry to watch as the riders gallop past him. But as Merry stands alone, one of the riders pulls him from the ground. As he turns, he sees himself seated in front of Eowyn, disguised as a man. Except Eowyn is a man. It's Arwen disguised as a man playing a woman. I just confused myself. You too, I'm sure. You'll see what I mean eventually. Eowyn, quite passionately.
Ride with me.
That wasn't her voice.
Ride with me.
That's better. Merry, quite passionately in return.
My lady, I am already riding with you.
Close by, Éomer is gathering his merry force of cavalrymen.
Form up, move out! Form up, move out! Move out!
Théoden with urgency. Ride, ride now too! Ride, everyone, you! Get off your seat! Ride too! Ride!
Ride! Ride!
Soja whispers, To Gondor?
Yes, to Gondor!
Gondor!
One of those voices was correct. I can't keep track of them. We see the host of men ride forth valiantly. Then we see the huge armies of Mordor march towards Minas Tirith. As they approach the city, we hear the air filled with their cries. Huge trolls beat their drums as the troops march forward. It is a highly exaggerated host of oaks. Host of oaks. Host of orcs. Namaste, namaste. And no evil men are present even though they're supposed to be. We go back to Aragorn, who is making his way forward inside the underground realm. The only light coming from his torch. Legolas and Gimli follow behind him.
At last, they come to a huge set of double doors. They stop at a gift shop and look around. Then the king appears. The king of the dead, that is. And he begins to speak like a dead dude. Who enters my domain?
Aragorn turns around and searches for an owl. But confusingly sees the ghost-like king appear in front of the steps, leading to the doors. He is holding a popsicle. Aragorn, quite confused.
One who will ask you to kill Legolas, the annoying elf.
The king of the dead replies.
The dead do not suffer the living to pass.
Aragorn, eyes bulging.
You will suffer me.
The king lets out a laugh of contempt, and Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli look around them to see a dead army float towards them. Oh, spooky. Gimli, quite sarcastically.
Oh, I'm really scared. Oh.
The king of the dead, now visibly hurt.
Hey, give us a break. This is all we've got. Anyway, where was I?
A random ghost extra says.
I believe you were about to say, the way is shut.
The king of the dead, now gloriously.
The way is shut. It was made by those who are dead. And the dead. Keep it.
Legolas, for some reason annoyed.
I know. That's what I said at the entrance.
They look around them and see that they are surrounded by the dead. The king of the dead says even more words.
The way is shut. Now you must die.
king moves towards Aragorn. Legolas immediately fires an arrow, but it flies through the king and kills a ghost behind him. Aragorn, to the point,
I summon you to fulfill your oath. Also, I have come here so that one of you can kill this elf for me.
The king of the dead retorts,
none but the king of Gondor may command me.
As the king swings his little sword, Aragorn blocks its blow with the blade of Anduril and puts its tip to the king's neck. The king of the dead, visibly shocked,
that line was broken.
Aragorn now mockingly, it's been remade, as well as the blade. All shall fade. My nickname is Jade. Gimli quite rocked. I had Cheerios this morning. Aragorn pushes the king back, and the dead remain silent and watch.
Aragorn, quite commandingly, okay? He's commanding. He's supposed to be.
Sorry, for those listening, here's an aside. I am conflicted with this script. That's well known. I don't need to belabor that point, beat a dead horse, what have you. But I am having producers screaming in my ear, and a pantsless director telling me that this is how the story's supposed to be, but I have my reservations. Okay? I know Aragorn is speaking commanding. He's commanding the ghost people to do the thing he wants them to do! I am reading this script the way I see fit. I'm sorry Sir David Attenborough wasn't available, but I'm doing my best!
Aragorn pushes the king back, and the dead remain silent and watch. Fight for us, and regain your honor. What say you?
The dead watch some TV silently as Aragorn walks around the ring of soldiers, enclosing him and his companions, holding out Anduril.
What say you?
Gimli, with distaste.
You waste your time, Aragorn. They have no honor in life, they have none now in death.
Aragorn rolling his eyes.
I am Isildur's heir. Fight for me, and I will hold your oaths fulfilled.
The king merely smiles as Aragorn farts, his sword outstretched. Aragorn doubles down, rolling his eyes for the second time.
What say you? I dare you to pull my sword.
The king of the dead laughs incessantly. Him and his fellow ghouls disappear, and the whole cavern collapses, and possibly kills Legolas. Hence the scene title. Aragorn and Gimli exit the mountain via the subway and see the corsairs attacking. The dead come out, and they kill the pirates. Then they are supposed to leave, and Aragorn with his fellow Dúnedain and the men of the Southern Fiefs board the ships and go. But at the last minute, they are all fired, and the dead take the place. So, you get the idea that Gondor's only army is Minas Tirith and its people, that the rest of Gondor is populated by monkeys and kangaroos. There is absolutely no other person who can help them. But putting elves at the Hornburg, that was okay to do, not to instead show what really happened, Rohan exclusively holding their own and defeating a huge army by themselves with courage and zeal. The elves didn't do squat, they all died! Anyway. Scene 23. The Siege of Minas Tirith, according to Peter Jackson. We go to Minas Tirith, where the troops of Sauron are standing on the Pelennor Fields, ready for the battle. The men of Rune and the Variags and the Easterlings are not present. Only the Olifants are allowed to fight. A lonely horse gallops toward the gates, and a wounded Faramir is being dragged along with the animal. One of the guards, with passionate despair, screams,
"Close the gate! Quick! Now! Open the gate! Ah!"
The soldier, now a woman, dives into a pit of wolves. We see that Faramir is unconscious and has two arrows smugly pointing out from his chest. The gates are closed, and the men bend down to help their wounded captain. Outside the walls, the orcs prepare to fire the catapults. The ugly orc leader, presumably Gothmog, arrives with a warg and looks around. A pleased expression on his alleged face? Is that? Which is merely a smear of dried plaster with a slit cut out for a mouth. Inside the city, Faramir is ticking up the 7 levels to his father. Occasionally, Faramir would fall out and roll down the street. Another guard, quite impatiently,
"Quick, hurry!"
Another soldier, present, is quite annoyed.
"Dude, we'll carry this guy up 7 levels. Chill!"
Denethor storms out to the yard and runs to Faramir. Suddenly, he's in love with his son again.
Great ghost of St. Jasper, Faramir.
The Gondorian soldiers lower Faramir to the ground next to the white tree, and Denethor kneels beside him. And with apparent despair,
say not that he has fallen.
Not like I care.
They were outnumbered, my lord. None survived.
Farther away, Pippin is watching this situation. A frowny frown is on his face. On the fields of Pelennor, the orc leader smells the air. He was supposedly Gothmog, but we'll just call him Orc Leader for now.
Fear. The city is rank with it. Let us ease their pain.
He turns to a random orc with a skull on his head.
Release the prisoners.
The random orc with a skull on his head has a line. Catapult! As the catapults are fired, the people inside the city receive a horrible surprise. The orcs are shooting the heads of the soldiers that rode towards Gilead with Faramir. See, this macabre thing is actually applicable, okay? Because it happened. What is dang cannibalism? What's wrong with you? Little children pick up the heads and play catch with each other. I spoke too soon. Up on the highest level, the grief is getting to Denethor's sanity.
My sons are spent.
The steward steps back from his son and trips on a stick. Pippin runs to Faramir.
My line has ended.
Pippin places his hand on Faramir's forehead, grinning over kindness.
He's alive.
A guard interjects.
Are you a doctor?
No, I'm a plant. A plant? I thought people like you were usually called a fruit. Very funny, but I'm not saying Gandalf, if that's what you're implying.
Meanwhile, Denethor is talking to himself.
The House of Stewards has failed.
He needs medicine, my lord. 40 milligrams of...
Whoa, interjects a guard. Now you're prescribing drugs? You're a plant. Pippin stares at the guard with immense disgust and indigestion. He screams quite rudely.
Were you seriously neglected as a child?
The guard with vigor.
Yes.
Denethor continues, oblivious to the words of the hobbit.
My line has ended!
Pippin, adding an exclamation point to his question mark.
My lord!
Denethor walks to the edge and looks down. He stares at the mass of Sauron's forces below, which is over 200 million. As we all know, the main force was only 45,000 or so in the book, but the trolls are placing huge boulders into the catapults. Denethor sneers in contempt of the stuff he sneers about.
Rohan has deserted us.
The catapults are fired, and the boulders hit the city and its towers, which come crumbling down. The people begin to run onto the streets.
Theoden's betrayed me.
With every line spoken, Denethor's madness and despair seems to deepen. More boulders are fired at the city, and civilians are killed.
The Red Sox won the World Series.
We see Arwen flying on a fell beast, ordering a battalion of hobbits on the ground. Denethor now yelling down to the lower levels.
Abandon your post! Flee for your lives!
The soldiers look at each other confused. Some run and join the ranks of the enemy, while some jump through a nearby window. As Denethor turns around, he receives 3 blows from Gandalf's staff and falls unconscious. Thank you. Thank you. Gandalf, with vigorous gaiety.
Prepare for battle!
Who are you talking to?
Who is this god that just randomly talks?
Could you destroy that guy for me?
Anything for my number one hobbit. Wink.
I knew it, you! Gandalf smashes his staff into the man's head. He killed him dead, like 100 times. Gandalf rides through the streets with Shadowfax. Gandalf, with continued gaiety.
Hardy man, to the wall! Return to your post!
The fleeing soldiers follow the wizard up to the wall and prepare for battle. Gandalf sits on Shadowfax's back and looks down onto the fields, filled with thousands of orcs and other beasts from Mordor. Gandalf, emphatically gay-like,
send these foul beasts into the abyss!
The soldiers launch their catapults and fire boulders at the enemy. The orcs watch as the stones land on their fellow fighters and intend to move, but their leader won't allow them to.
Stay where you are.
Apparently, orc number 1492 is whining.
But I don't wanna.
They return fire, and more boulders hit the city of Minas Tirith. A group of onlookers gets wiped out from a gigantic rock. We suddenly see Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons pointing at the death and destruction. Soldiers are speaking over each other. I'll do my best here.
Watch out! Down to the lower level! Quick! Grab hold of something! Save me, Arwen! Where did everybody go?
Pippin, wearing his funky helmet, is running to the Flow River Dance. More stones are fired at the orcs. As a huge stone is about to land on the orc leader, he stands his ground until the last moment. A troll looks in confusion, with the confusion of 1,000 goldfish.
Weren't you supposed to? Quiet, I know. Okay.
The orc leader spits on the boulder, and at the same moment the Nazgul arrive with their fell beasts. They fly and circle around the city, slaying men as they go. We see that the Witch King of Angmar / Arwen is with them. Fear comes into the faces of the soldiers, and Pippin blocks his ears to the sound of the screeching of the Nazgul. Meanwhile, Gandalf walks along the wall.
Hold them back! Do not give in to fear! Return to your posts! Bye!
A boulder hits one of the siege towers, and many orcs fall out of it as it collapses. The Nazgul keep attacking the city, slaying more men, snatching them into the air with their claws, and dropping them onto the city from great heights. With fear on his face, Pippin tries to run from the crowd, or with the crowd rather, but is pushed down and he falls. Several boulders smother him, but yet he still manages to survive. Well, he's got the luck of Legolas. On the walls, the archers fire their arrows.
Aim for the trolls! Kill the trolls! Bring them down!
Gandalf looks at a straggler.
Chop that tree!
The trolls receive a shower of arrows, but with no soap to clean themselves. One of the siege towers, however, has been pushed close enough, and the orcs start to enter the city through the walls. A battering ram is present on the bottom, but that fails quite miserably.
Fight them back!
Gandalf turns around and sees Pippin walking towards him. Gandalf, with desperation and a hint of oregano,
Peregrin Took, go back to the citadel! Await me in your room!
They called us out to fight.
Sauron's troops swarm onto the walls like locusts. Except they weren't locusts, they were orcs. One of the orcs runs toward Pippin. Just as it raises its arm to strike a blow, Gandalf slays it from behind. Gandalf, quite lovingly,
there is no place for my boyfriend. This is no place for you.
Gandalf continues to fight using his staff and sword, but unaware of the orc preparing an attack from behind. Suddenly aware of his danger, Pippin pulls out a sword and kills the orc, and surveys the bloody sword with a look of wonder. Gandalf turns to look at Pippin, his tone of voice filled with both pride and surprise. This was the ultimate turn-on for Gandalf. Gandalf, no words can describe his feelings at this time.
God of the Citadel indeed. Oh my. Now back up the hill, quickly, quick! Oh, that hobbit.
Pippin does as he is told and leaves the scene. Outside on the fields, we see huge rhino-like creatures pulling Grond, the battering ram. Gandalf sees this from the wall. The look on his face is serious as Grond is pulled towards the gates of the White City. The orcs begin to chant,
Grond, Grond.
Scene 24. Shelob's lair and Arwen. We see that Frodo and Gollum have made it to the top of the stairs of Cirith Ungol, and now face the entrance of Dark Cave or Tunnel or whatever you call it. Gollum squats on a rock and lays a big dump on it. He then points into the tunnel. With vigor, he says, Another log hits the rock. Frodo looks in, holding his nose. The sound of wind and dropping water can be heard in the distance. He listens more closely and can hear Shelob speaking in a British accent. Frodo, now confused.
What is this place?
Master must go inside the tunnel.
Now that I'm here, I don't think I want to. Your droppings are massed in front of the entrance. We'll need a hazmat team or something.
Frodo makes to step back, Gollum, now anxiously.
It's the only way. Go in or go back.
Frodo, resignedly,
I can't go back.
With this, the hobbit hesitantly enters the tunnel. Gollum follows him with a grin. Frodo begins to notice a horrid stink.
What's that smell?
He looks behind him.
Oh, right.
Gollum, now disgustingly.
Orcs is filth. Orcs is coming here. Sometimes.
The tunnel darkens as they make their way in, the only light coming from the increasingly distant opening. Actually, in the theatrical version, there is light coming through many cracks in the wall, despite the fact it's supposed to be deep inside the mountains. But I guess that's not important. The walls are covered in with sticky web and weird honeycomb-like shapes in the stone. Frodo stumbles forward and Gollum disappears quite quickly. Gollum, now yelling from the distance.
Hurry!
Frodo begins to breathe heavily, and he looks around desperately for his guide. Frodo continues to search the shadows of his own heart.
Smeagol?
Over here!
As Frodo fumbles in the dark, we can see the place is filled with bones. Frodo loses his footing and stumbles. As he leans against the stone wall, Frodo recoils in disgust to a tapestry of spiderwebs. Frodo, now fearfully,
Ah, it's sticky! What is it?
Gollum, now suspiciously evil,
You will see. Oh, yes. You will see.
Frodo stops and looks around desperately. Now frightened, as you can imagine, he's surrounded by all these webs and such.
Smeagol? Smeagol? Gollum!
What?
Where's Smeagol?
I don't know. Probably got lost.
Smeagol gives no answer.
Smeagol!
Frodo looks around him and sees only the cold, stony walls around him. Tears fill his eyes.
Oh, Sam, if only we were still buds.
Foot cream! A sadness followed by a flash of hate comes into his face. Frodo steps forward and looks down to see that the rocky ground is filled with bones. His breathing begins to quicken as he looks around once more, this time seeing the carcass of a bird hanging from the ceiling, wrapped in a huge sticky cobweb. Hanging beside the bones of an orc, a menacing growl can be heard. Comes from what he thought was inside his stomach. And Frodo starts to run, stumbling into the darkness. The growl was just Arwen burping.
The scene changes as we see Sam wearily climbing down the winding stairs. He loses his footing and half falls, half slides, half dies, and half wins down the stairs dangerously. And when he stops, he finds himself beside wafers of Lembas. He picks one up, devours it, and then his face is contorted in anger. Crushing a wafer in his hand in a flash of rage, with determination coming into his brown hobbit face, he makes to climb back up the stairs to his destiny. We see Frodo once more running through the impossibly dark tunnels, uncertain of his direction. He runs through someone's living room and then across a courtyard of stone. He then takes a breather at a rest stop, and then commences his running. As he looks behind him, he stumbles and finds himself caught in a web amongst sticky bones. He struggles helplessly, crying out in despair, but even as his will begins to give way, a look of recollection comes into his eyes. Galadriel voiceover. Okay, let's just do it. Galadriel voiceover.
And you, Frodo Baggins, I give you the light of Erendil, our most beloved star.
Frodo, wondering where the voice is coming from.
Huh? The file, you moron.
Frodo pulls out the glass file, and as he grips it in hand, it slowly begins to glow with a pale blue light.
May it be a light for you in dark places when all other lights go out.
Frodo closes his eyes for a moment, saying the unintelligible chant. He opens them, determination on his face. He holds the file before him, allowing it to quench the darkness ahead.
Aye, the Erendil. Eleanor Nangalima.
loosely translated from Elvish to mean, "Work! Work, you stupid thing, work!" As the file of Galadriel glows brightly in Frodo's grip, the hobbit slowly turns to look behind his shoulder. Which shoulder? Well, we'll never know. With a look of horror, he sees Shelob, a man-sized spider scrambling towards him hungrily. She swings her front legs, and Frodo falls on his back, holding out the file to Dita the spider. Once again, Frodo falls, but as Shelob attacks, he pulls his sword, sting, slashing at her legs. Shelob recoils, giving Frodo time to flee. Then he runs and trips and blah 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 gets trapped in a web.
Naughty little fly, why does it cry?
Looking behind.
I am at my wit's end with the controller. Looking behind his shoulder, which shoulder? Who knows? Frodo sees Shelob crawling towards him as Gollum peeks out from behind a large boulder.
Caught in a web, soon you'll be eaten.
That doesn't even rhyme. With this, Frodo slashes furiously at the web with Sting. Gollum quickly slips away, and at the last moment, Frodo cuts himself free from the web, running in Gollum's direction. At last, he makes it out into the open, but in an instant, Gollum grabs him by the ears and bashes his head against the stone wall. Frodo then bashes Gollum's head too.
Got away, did it, Precious? Not this time, not this time.
Gollum catches sight of the ring hanging from Frodo's neck and makes a wild grab at it. In a rush of anger, Frodo pushes him away with a newfound strength.
No!
Frodo attacks, and at last has his hands around Gollum's neck. But as he tightens his grip, Sméagol takes over Gollum, and it is a pathetic creature that speaks to Frodo in desperation. Frodo continues to punch and clobber him relentlessly like before. Have we done a voice for Sméagol, or has it just been Gollum? You want me to do Sméagol? Sure. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. Sméagol wouldn't hurt. Master, we promised. What? It's the only voice I can do. Whatever. Frodo, now incredibly angry beyond despair.
Shut up. Will you ever shut up?
Still with his hands around the creature's neck. Anger comes to his face once more, but is soon overcome by exhaustion and pity. Gollum owed him money, so Frodo needed him alive to get the dough. You must believe us. It was the Precious. The Precious made us do it. Slowly, Frodo releases Sméagol and stumbles back. Sméagol is distraught with pain.
I must destroy it, Sméagol.
Gollum, what have you? Gollum looks at Frodo in shock.
I must destroy it, for both of our sakes.
So deal with it! As Frodo starts to walk away, an angry grimace rises to Gollum's face. Then he quickly gets up and runs after Frodo.
No.
He jumps on Frodo and they both fall. But as Frodo tries to throw him off, he falls into the dark chasm below. Frodo watches him fall and finally gets up, panting in exhaustion. He staggers forward and stops to lean against the stony wall, his breathing quite heavy.
I'm so sorry, Sam. So sorry.
I'm not. I wish you were dead like Legolas.
What?
With this, Frodo stumbles and falls to the ground. But instead of hitting the soft grass beneath him, what's this crackle? Stop! He lands on hard stone in Lothlorien. Slowly, he opens his eyes and sees the Lady Galadriel standing before him.
This task was appointed to you, Frodo of the Shire. If you do not find a way, I will destroy your soul.
Frodo watches as Galadriel bends down with a menacing kind of smile on her face, offering her hand. With a determined look on his face, the hobbit eats the outstretched hand. Back on his feet, Frodo finds himself, I'm ignoring it, finds himself back at Cirith Ungol with new strength and determination, he continues.
Not sure all this crackling has come from. It doesn't make any...
Get out of here, Rufus! Get out of my chair!
Sorry. Bye.
Chapter 25. The Choices of Master Samwise, with some of the battle at Minas Tirith 2. We are at Minas Tirith, again, where the siege continues, again. Huge trolls are pulling at ropes to use Gronn, the battering ram, which bangs ever so lightly against the gates of Minas Tirith, but fails to break them open. Gandalf, while riding Shadowfax, screams the following.
Away from the gate! Flee to your homes! Find my love!
The remaining soldiers hurry to the gate with Gandalf, even though he said otherwise. Gronn continues to smash against the gates, and they, the Gondorians, ready their weapons. On the highest level, Pippin runs past the White Tree and sees the cavalcade that carries Faramir, led by Denethor, his father. They're on their way to the Silent Street. Even though the street is alive with carnivals and concerts, Denethor pushes open the double doors and steps into the burial chamber of the stewards.
No tomb for Denethor and Faramir. No long, slow, boring sleep of death embalmed. We shall burn like the heathen kings of old.
Now, to his servants.
Bring wood and oil.
Down at the gate, Gronn is making progress. He's getting every question right. And the men wait with their spears and shields. Gandalf.
Steady. You shake even a little? I'll have to dance for you all.
One final hit and Gronn breaks through the gate of the White City. Its buck teeth and flowered crown makes the men laugh. Gronn sheds a tear.
Oh, please, don't let them bang me on the door again. It hurts so bad. If I come through again, a group of big meanie trolls will destroy you.
You are soldiers of Gondor!
Oh, by the way, that was Gronn speaking. Anyway, continue, Gandalf.
You are soldiers of Gondor! No matter what Gronn says, you will stand your ground!
As the gates are opened, huge, ginormous, world-ending trolls of Mordor step through and into the city, waving their spiky hammers. Gandalf's face shows shock, now wishing to adhere to Gronn, as these huge forces soon overwhelm the men beside him, who are quickly thrown against the walls.
I told you so.
Volley!
The archers release their arrows, but make little difference. The beasts keep attacking, killing men as they go. With Gandalf's help, one of the beasts kills several of the defenders. Gandalf casually whistles and steps away. With the gates now broken open, Sauron's forces storm out of the city and run rampant throughout Middle-earth. Frodo arrives at more stairs. He's leading to... Oh, we're back to Frodo. Okay, so he was traveling. He had newfound conviction. Devoured Galadriel's hand. That's weird. He's leading to the Tower of Cir Ungol. Behind him, Shelob crawls silently out of a hole. Ooh, this is getting interesting. As Frodo makes to step onto the stairs, the sound of falling rocks and tiny gas emissions catches his attention, and Frodo pauses, checking around him for signs of danger, unaware of the huge spider supported by the rocks above him. As more rocks drop, Frodo's breathing quickens, and in an instant, Shelob lowers her stinger and stabs him relentlessly.
Stop it, Shelob!
Frodo has no time to react as he opens his mouth to let out a yell, but instead he is infected with rabies. Shelob stabs him in the neck once more, and no noise comes from his lips. As he begins to fall forward, Shelob ever so gently catches him and encloses him in a cocoon of fine twined linen and silky webs.
Frodo, Im Arwen Talin Nathai. Lasto Bethnin Torodon non Galad.
Well, it's sort of a spelled that way. Just use your imagination. Frodo, now confused.
What the?
Then out of the darkness, Sam appears, brandishing Sting in his right hand, and clutching the phial of Galadriel in the other. Sam now angrily.
Let him go, you filth.
In a sudden moment, Shelob, Arwen, turns to Sam.
Sam, it's me.
Let him go!
As Shelob slash Arwen drops the cocoon Frodo to the ground, worry flashes across his face, but is replaced by a look of determination. That same determination that led
Frodo to being impaled by a spider's stinger and cocooned into fine twine linen.
You will not touch him again.
Shelob slash Arwen growls and Sam creeps closer. And then, even more angrily,
come on and finish it. Those pies can't cook themselves.
Sam charges and Arwen leaps forward. Sam dodges a hit, slashes at one of her legs, but Shelob continues forward. Undeterred, attacks with her legs and sending Sam flying to the air. Blood everywhere. When he hits the ground, the file slips from his hand, landing out of reach. Shelob scuttles forward, kicking the file further away still, then presses Sam against a rocky wall, her many legs closing in on him. Blood everywhere. Sam kicks out, and Shelob recoils and recovers, and pushes Sam to the ground. Shelob climbs to the rocks above, and just as Sam scrambles to his feet, she jumps back down, onto him. With Sting still in his hands, Sam strikes a blow at Shelob's head, this time drawing blood. A super amount of blood, like one or two barrels worth. With a surge forward, Shelob knocks Sting out of Sam's hand and closes in on him, pointing a sting at him. At last, Sam makes a lunge at Sting and plunges the blade upward into Shelob slash Arwen. Recoiling in pain, Shelob slash Arwen begins to wriggle. Wriggle jiggle, wriggle jiggle, but not free. And Sam picks up the file and brandishes it. Wow! Huh. That was exciting. Let's see that again. Sam charges Arwen and leaps forward. Oh, I'm not reading it again. No. I get. You could just rewind and... Anyway. Oh, that was awesome. Yay again.
Yeah, I don't know where the narrator went. Where did he go?
I had to take a break. My voice is in pain. My throat is on fire. How does Attenborough do this?
Well, I guess while he's gone, I can continue. Sam now with more anger. Back! Staggering, Shelob Arwen scuttles back into the tunnel in agony. Sam hurries to Frodo, still wrapped in the cocoon.
Mrs. Frodo!
Sam rips open the web around Frodo's face. His skin is yellowish, his lips blue, and his eyes open, yet lifeless.
I'm coming back! Get out of my chair!
His skin white, his lips are orange, and I just ruined the scene. Sam, oh no, Frodo!
Get out of my chair!
Sam tries to shake Frodo awake, but it's useless. He commences into banging him on the head with a hilt of Sting, but no progress. He gets some C4 and blows it up next to Frodo, but Frodo is, like, out of it. Sam begins to weep like a mud monster.
Mr. Frodo!
Sam takes the limp Frodo into his arms, tears falling in from Frodo's eyes. A random reader of the screenplay is interjecting at this time. But live comment? Live comment? Okay. What does it say? But wait, I thought Frodo was unconscious. Oh.
Shush. Let me tell the story. Thank you. Turn off the comments. Turn it off. Ow.
Sam begins weeping like a hobbit.
Wake up. Don't leave me here alone. Don't go where I can't follow. Don't go back to the light. You can't die. Ever. You.
Sam weeps as he watches Frodo's lifeless form in his arms.
Wake up!
He begins to shake Frodo with extreme ferocity.
Wake up!
Despairingly.
You're not asleep. Dead. You're not awake. Alive.
Question mark. He presses his moistened, teary cheek against the crown of Frodo's head and rocks him in his arms. Sam, now softly.
Rock by Mr. Frodo in the web streaks.
Frodo, now opening his eyes.
Shut up, Sam!
Sam, with the surprise of a freshly stubbed toe.
You're alive!
Shh! Don't spoil it. We suddenly see that Sting lying on the ground begins to glow blue, showing that orcs are nearby. Sam looks around in shock as he hears voices and footsteps approaching.
My name is beautiful. It's a family name. Gorbag.
What's this?
Looks like O'Shelob's been having a bit of fun.
Further away, Sam is hiding behind the rocks.
Killed another one, has she?
No. This fellow ain't dead.
I know that. Oh, not dead.
She jabs him with a stinger and he goes as limp as a bonefish.
Ah.
Then she has her way with them. Sam shudders at the thought of Frodo and Arwen slash Shelob. Shelob slash Arwen. That's how she likes to feed. Fresh blood. Get him to the tower.
The orcs leave and take Frodo with them.
Sam watches them go.
Samwise, you fool.
This juicy morsel will be awake in a couple of hours.
Then who is she never been tamed?